Okay.
Here we go. We're really recording now. Okay. But now we're just talking about answering your questions.
Okay.
What questions do you have for me? What do people normally do?
Yes.
Normally, there's no agenda. There's no, like, we're going to get through this, and then this, and then this, and then this. At least for me. Normally, my agenda is just ask questions, and when something sounds interesting, ask another question. Did you listen to the podcast at all?
Yeah.
Okay. So you know the basic ground rule that I can ask what I want to ask, and you have to say, I don't want to answer that, mm-hmm. or I can't answer that, or something like that?
Yes.
Are you okay with that?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. What other questions do you have?
I guess I just wanted to know more so how you would start it. Like, where do I start at in the story?
Okay.
Yeah.
That's super simple.
Okay.
Because once I start the interview,
mm-hmm.
I'll just ask some question and we'll start there.
Okay.
So, like, the story, that's the thing, is if you have a specific place you want to take the conversation, take it there. I'm just going to ask questions and listen.
Okay. Sounds good.
Cool. What, any other questions?
I think I'm good.
Okay. Welcome back to A Simple Life with Michael Jeffries. On this podcast, we aren't trying to be right or wrong. We're just trying to keep it real. On this episode, episode 16, I interview an acquaintance from my high school years who has become a friend over the last few months. Vivian's story is one of finding her self-worth, of redemption, and hope. Our interview starts with her eating disorder in high school, growing up with a critical, controlling, and sometimes abusive mother, and an emotionally unavailable father, coupled with a family culture of keeping up appearances. She talks about becoming conditioned to betraying herself, how she decided to let that go, and how she took the first step to becoming who she is today. The interview concludes with Vivian explaining how she learned to trust her higher self, her belief in the law of attraction, and her realization that she processes trauma by creating, taking all of her pain, and building a business. Towards the end, the interview starts to circle a bit, but I didn't want to shorten it. Right up till we stopped recording, Vivian had good things to say. I'm excited to publish this episode, so without waiting any longer, let's start the interview. To another episode of A Simple Life with Michael Jeffries. I'm Michael Jeffries. Today we're going to be doing an interview show, and I'm interviewing a very old acquaintance of mine. We met in high school for a play. We are both in a play called Annie about the orphan Annie.
Yes.
And you were one of the orphans.
Yes, I was.
And I was President Roosevelt.
Gosh.
Yeah. And that was like when our paths first crossed.
Yeah.
And then haven't seen you in like a million years.
Yeah.
And then you're a massage therapist now.
Yes.
And I got a massage from you.
Yes.
We had a great conversation. Somehow we talked about passion projects.
Yes.
And that I'm doing this podcast thing, and you're like, "Oh, I'd be okay being interviewed on that." And I said, "Really?" And here we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, this is Vivian. Vivian, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right. So, we've got a story to tell.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about yourself. Where are we? Who are you?
Okay. I am 35 years old. I am a single mother right now. I went through a divorce almost 2 years ago. I am from Sturgis. I have been a massage therapist for 13 years. And
oh, wow.
I just became certified as a yoga instructor. And I'm taking my business now in a new direction, talking about or educating people more so on like sound healing, vibration, and just different forms of healing, different healing modalities.
Okay, then just take a pill.
Exactly.
Okay. Will you ever consider giving people pills?
I wouldn't say pills. I would say like plant-based medicine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like for example?
I mean, there's all different plants, but I mean, cannabis would be one.
Okay.
For sure. Yeah. To help people with anxiety. I think that it can be used as like an escape too. So you would really have to make sure that that's monitored. But, I think that it's definitely better than taking a pill for sure. And I think that Big Pharma has like really stopped the process of people being able to be educated in these different modalities too, and just having them more available for people to go to. Does that make sense?
So if I'm hearing you right, there's, because I think I agree with you, but there's Big Pharma is not just not investing into these things, they're actively trying to make sure they're not used.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. But you found a lot of healing from them.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Great. So you've been a massage therapist for 13 years. What did you do before that?
I mean, I was in college. It was like I became certified when I graduated from high school. I went and got my 2-year degree from Kalamazoo Valley Community College, and that was just in business. Because if I ever broke my hand or something, then I would have something to fall back on. Are you recording?
I am. I'm just making sure that they can hear us. I think I'm going to move it a little bit closer.
Do you want to check it? Is it good?
I think I'm going to say we're good.
Okay.
We should be good. We better be good. Maybe we're not good.
That's okay.
I wonder if that'll help. Yeah, we'll do it there, see how it goes.
I might be talking too soft, too.
Well, we want to be comfortable.
Okay.
It's important for the interview to work.
Okay. Where was I?
You're talking about you were at Kalamazoo Valley Community College?
Yes.
Getting your associates?
Yes. That was my dad. He said, you have to go get some form of degree because if you break your hand, I'm not paying for stuff. So it was like my backup plan, you know, if massage didn't go well.
So you already wanted to do massage?
Mm-hmm.
And he was worried about your hand breaking
yes.
as you gave these massages.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, like...
Fair point.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what are you going to do? And my mom was not for it. My mom was not for a massage. She... Hmm. Yeah. Once I got started, I was really successful with it and did really well. And then she, like, saw the amount of money and stuff that I made in it, and she, like, then became okay with it. But she's always kind of been my critic, you know? Like, she always has to be, like, the naysayer of things
okay.
for me in the beginning. And then she'll, like, kind of warm up into it.
Vivian's a little too pie in the sky. And
yes.
Mom has to bring her down to earth.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. It's not an uncommon dynamic.
Yeah.
Okay. So you went to Valley, KBCC. You got your associates. Thanks, Dad. Checked it off.
Right.
You started working as a massage therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you were successful. You worked for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You were doing well.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden your mom was like, it's okay, don't worry about it.
Okay.
We all have phones. and your mom was finally like, oh, this works. Cool.
Yeah.
Good for you, Vivian.
Yeah. Yeah. I think every parent's going to want you to become like a doctor or something. You know what I mean? But in my own form, I felt like I was.
You're kind of trying to become a doctor.
Yeah. Now. Yeah, in my own way.
Yeah.
So, but I have gone through a lot of trials with massage, and I've had to really like learn my worth and boundaries with it, because that was my first rodeo, like where I realized like, okay, like men will try things with you. That's pretty normal.
On the massage table.
Oh yeah. That's normal.
Really?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I'm disappointed to hear that. Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
if it's unwanted, like, I don't want to make assumptions.
But... Oh, yeah, it was definitely unwanted.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think a lot of men, like, if you are just nice in general and you are touching them massage-wise, they will automatically assume that you're flirting with them a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you have to, like, really detach yourself. I mean, because I couldn't stop. That's my personality. Is to be a nurturer, you know? So, people, like, other massage therapists would be like, you just need to be mean or don't talk to them or... And I couldn't do that. Like, okay.
So, your decision was, there are tactics I could use to minimize this unwanted attention, but...
Mm-hmm.
It just wouldn't feel like me, so
right,
I'll just
yeah.
deal with it as it happens.
Right, yeah.
Wow, okay.
Well, I think that it's like really kind of what kept me working in spas at first, because I didn't feel safe. So like if anybody ever tried anything, I could at least have people around to go tell, you know?
Yeah.
So that was like the biggest obstacle, like branching out on my own and having my own business, was I was worried about my safety, really.
Yeah.
Of that, yeah.
And what changed? Why did you decide to do that? Like what?
To do my business on my own?
Yeah. Like you had this spa experience.
Yeah.
Kind of freaky because all these... And you're a beautiful woman. I'm sure you had unwanted attention before that happened, that career path. But like...
It's just an intimate job.
Yeah.
And then you're speaking with people every week. Like, yeah, it just becomes very intimate. So it's like you really start to learn a lot about relationships, about boundaries. And it took me a really long time to get there. So I had I had things happen that I didn't want to happen. I had guys grab my ass and stuff. And I would be like, it's okay. Like, I'll just have them come back because I need the money.
Mm.
You know? And I was like... Where I shouldn't have been doing that to myself over and over again. So, but to keep going with the story,
yeah.
So I was married, like at the very beginning of my career, 13 years ago. And, no, it wasn't 13 years ago. That's how long I've been with him. I had been with him. That's when I started dating him. And then we were married 9 years ago. Oh, it would have been 9 years ago. And I helped him get through engineering school and even through pregnancy, like worked like a 35-hour week doing massage. It was hard work. Like just being in a room all day listening to spa music, and a lot of times you weren't allowed to talk to the person, like you had to be in a dark room. So I did that day after day.
I never thought of how lonely that could be.
Yeah,
just a stream of bodies coming in and out of a room.
You're kind of a servant. And then I had my son. And he is going to be 9 next month. And that's when it became really, really hard to take care of people and then come home and take care of more people.
Mm-hmm.
And then this balance of, like, trying to figure out how to take care of myself, too. And then my marriage started to deteriorate because I just couldn't... I couldn't handle all of it. And I realized I was in a pretty narcissistic marriage, because I would say I'm definitely an empath. So I think a lot of times empaths tend to gravitate towards narcissistic people.
Okay.
And I mean,
I've heard this.
Yeah. I don't mean any harm by saying that about him. I think that I've asked him and he would agree with that statement.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of taught too, you know? He just doesn't have the empath. He doesn't have the nurturing side to him. And he's always, like, wanted someone to take care of him, you know? But it just really threw off the balance, and I didn't know how to create that balance anymore within our marriage. And so it just kind of got worse and worse and worse. And then, I mean, I don't know how much to say on this, but...
Well, how much do you want to say?
I think
that's the real...
Yeah.
That's the real question.
We're
getting pretty deep, pretty fast, too.
I know. Well, that's what I do. I'm a Scorpio. I'm, like, super deep.
Oh, okay.
So then the marriage deteriorated, and then I would have these men come in, and I was, like, Kevin kept the money for him, and so I needed to figure out a way to, like, create more money for myself. And so I let things happen that I shouldn't have let happen. and that was, like, the breaking point of our marriage. So my journey has really been about, like, low self-worth. I mean, in high school, I don't know if you had known me when I went through the eating disorder back then.
I mean, we didn't know each other well. I mean, you're a petite woman. I didn't really think, like, oh, she's got an eating disorder or anything like that.
Yeah.
But you told me when I was getting a massage from you that you had an eating disorder. Tell me more about this.
Yeah. So my parents divorced. My mom had an affair. And I was about 12. And she then became pregnant with my little brother through having the affair. So it was a lot of shifts. And at 12, you know, you're, like, developing and you're, like, trying to find your grounding in life. And, my whole world was, like, kind of blown up. So my dad remarried a year later, and so did my mom, and had a baby.
That's pretty fast.
Very fast.
Get divorced and have a new marriage in a year?
Yeah. Yeah. It all happened. And both of them, you know? So my dad...
Right.
And
Sorry.
Oh, it's okay. My dad ended up, the woman that he married, my stepmom, she's completely opposite of my mom. My mom is, like, more of a, like, a creative soul. And then, my stepmom was, like, an accountant for the hospital for, like, 30 some years. So she's very, like, by the book.
Okay.
So that was a big change for me. And then she had 3 girls, and so they had a father who struggled with he has alcoholism. So
her first husband?
Yeah. Okay. And so my dad kind of just stepped in there, and then he took over taking care of her girls.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mom was pregnant, so I kind of, you know, my brother and sister at that time, they're 4 and 5 years older than me, so they both had their license, and I was just kind of stuck in the middle, like,
okay,
where I couldn't leave, and I really didn't have a parent. You know, my stepdad didn't really come in and, like, be a dad to me.
Okay.
So I was just kind of, like, my mom was, like, very emotionally not there, because here she's pregnant, she just went through an affair. She's got a new husband. They weren't getting along.
Oh, okay.
Their business was, like, actually, it was, like, multiplying at that time. So they were, like, traveling to China all the time.
Wow.
Yeah. So just very not there. Yeah. So, I was probably, you could say I was emotionally neglected as a child. Yeah. So these are all just things like of recently that I've been able to figure out to try to heal my wounds of like why I reached for partners that were emotionally unavailable or had addictions, because it's what my dad was with me. So then I would chase after it, hoping that they would choose me. You know, it's like trying to like play out the role that you have as a child with your parent with another person in your life. Like, yeah, you can heal it. Yeah. So, and I think that like that was kind of the start of why my eating disorder started.
Okay.
And that started when I was like around 13 in middle school. And at 15, I was hospitalized.
Wow.
At 70 pounds on a feeding tube.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It
got
like,
pretty dark.
It got real dark. And I like will never forget those times, like laying in that hospital bed, like what I did to myself. But also just like this, like, just not caring.
Really?
Yeah. Just like total, like I had totally disassociated from my body. And the reason why I had disassociated, like where I was no longer in my body, was because, okay, we're going to go really deep now. When you have a parent who is critical of you, my mom was really critical of me, and she was critical of me because her parents were critical of her, so she has her own wounds.
Sure. It's not just bad.
Right, like, so she's not an evil person at all, and I still love her very much, but it created a lot of insecurity in me. And I would please her all the time. I just wanted to please her. And I never went with my internal guidance anymore. And the more and more that you abandon yourself, the more you start to become disassociated from your body. And the more that you do that to cope in life, you start to like have addictions. So an eating disorder is an addiction. Just to cope. It's a way that you find grounding. What can I focus on? Like, because my world is spinning. Like, I'm no longer in my body. And I did this over and over again where I betrayed myself. I betrayed myself with the people pleasing. I betrayed myself with letting men touch me when I'm working. And letting them come back. I betrayed myself over and over again. And so I just recently had to tell my mom that, like, I couldn't have her in my life at this point. Just because having someone who just so naturally wants to criticize you, and I don't think that she really means to, it's out of, like, fear. But her fear is...
And habit. I mean, habits are hard things to break even if we want to.
And there's like a...
And that's when we're self-aware.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a part of her, too, that, like, she went through the divorce and she never found herself. She never, like, went and traveled. You know, right after my divorce, I've traveled. I've been alone for 2 years. I've lived by myself now for 2 years. I've been financially independent for 2 years. Like, when you don't do those things and you don't realize that you can do those things, like, how do you start to believe in yourself? How do you find your self-worth, you know? Hmm. So, it like, this whole journey that I've been on is all about finding my self-worth. And once you do that, it's easy to have boundaries. Once you know, like, your values in life and you believe in yourself, you start to find your grounding, you know? And nobody ever taught me that. Because we never had boundaries when I was little. We weren't taught those things.
Can you give me an example of a boundary you have now and how that didn't exist as a kid? So I can understand the difference there, the transition.
Okay, so for example, well, just going to Christmas, you know, and what my family expects of me. Like, I'm supposed to show up. I'm supposed to play the role. And this is the first year that I won't be there. And my sister called me and she's like, you can't just abandon your family. And I was like, but I can. Mm-hmm. I'm 35 years old. And it's not to hurt you in any sort of way. It's just, I have to stand on my own two feet and figure this out for myself. And I have to take that energy away from my life right now. Because if I can't really figure out me for my kids, like, how can I truly heal? You know, I don't want to go back into those cycles over and over and over again, because I really, really trigger my mom big time. And she told me, she was like, I'm jealous that you're doing what I wish I would have done. Wow. Which was really big of her to say.
In terms of what you have chosen after divorce, mm-hmm. versus what she chose.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's like that she doesn't like my stepdad. I think it's just simply
right.
She never found herself. And mm-hmm. that's a really big deal. A lot of people don't know. They don't know their inner guidance. They aren't in touch with it. You know? Mm-hmm. Do you know your inner guidance now?
I don't know. I mean,
you don't know, like, when something, like, really rings true to you? Or, like, when you get downloads on the next thing to do in your life?
Sometimes. Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah? Like, your higher self speaking, where you're like, I don't even know where I got that idea. It just came to me.
Yes. I would say, personally speaking, I still have some insecurities, and so a lot of times if I hear that, I won't necessarily believe that it's my higher self. It's mm-hmm. just my brain going crazy or something like that. Like, I'll discount it.
Yeah. So, like, that's the other part of it, is like becoming like, now I'm just so sure of myself, and I like have been able to differentiate between my brain overworking and like my higher self. And I can't even tell you how I did that. It's just like an inner knowing. Yeah, I like feel it in my soul. So that's the other thing that I realized was doing massages, that I am really in tune with energy.
Okay, tell me more about that.
Well, okay, so the first thing that I noticed was when I would have somebody come in and I would give them a massage and they would leave and I would, like, feel different. I started to pick that up, like, where I could tell, like, that person was vibrating really low, and then I could have somebody come in And I noticed it in their wording. Like, they would talk, and the person who was, like, had a higher vibration usually was speaking, like, very positively. They weren't focused on negative things. And I also noticed that their lives seemed to be, like, better. Like, they had really good jobs, and, like, they had a better outlook on life. And so I didn't know if that was, like, oh, of course they're happier because they're, like,
their life is better.
Right, their life is better, yeah. But you can feel the energy, like, when you're speaking. I mean, can you feel it?
When I'm paying attention, I think I can sometimes, yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, I have down days.
Which is totally fine.
Okay.
Yeah. And you can pick that up on people too. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean you're bad for vibrating low at all. Yeah, it's not a bad thing. But I can just feel it. I can feel it on people. I started to notice that. And then I would have people tell me that after a massage that they felt enlightened. So I don't know if I like help people with their energy. So
that's
just,
quite a compliment.
Yeah, it is.
How does that make you feel when somebody says, "You touched me and I just feel more enlightened"? That's heavy.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, at first, like, I didn't believe people. I was just like, they're just flattering me, you know? But I think after so many people say it to you, or they say, I just naturally just, like, want to tell you my life story. I just want to open up to you. I started to realize that I might have a little gift of being a healer, you know? So I started exploring that realm of things a little bit more, because when I first started massage, it scared the crap out of me. Like, because my family was religious, to even go down the road of energy work. Because that, and to religious people, that's like satanic, you know?
Can you define what you mean when you say energy work? Because I want to continue with that story, but I want to make sure that I understand that, and anybody who happens to listen to this has some context for what you mean when you say energy work.
Okay. Energy work is where I am, like, where I am connected to Source. And Source
being?
A higher power.
Okay.
Yes. And there is a higher power running through me, and I have to take my conscious, my brain, all of that, and kind of put it aside and really just let Divine Source flow through me and through my hands. Onto another person's body. And you really have to focus your attention, your energy, and have, like, your intention is all on that person. And it's aligning the chakras. It's aligning the energy system in your body. So
that's what allows the source to come through you, is the chakra alignment? Or what do you mean?
I'm helping to do that for people.
You're helping them align their chakras.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And you can pick up blockages in people, like where their chakra is like blocked.
Really?
Yeah.
You can feel that when you're giving somebody a massage?
Yeah.
Interesting. Whoa.
Yeah. So, and I'm just, like, dipping my toes into it. It's like there's such a big world what would you call it? I wouldn't call it mysticism. I don't know, being a witch.
Eastern medicine, maybe?
Yeah, there we go.
I don't either. I don't know either.
Yeah, the overall realm of it.
Okay, so that's energy work.
Yeah.
So, when you first, like, I want to learn more about, name something early that you were interested in.
Ooh. Like my very first steps into it?
Sure.
Oh, I would say, I was energy work.
Like yoga? Was that scary to your parents?
Yes.
Okay, so here's Vivian, early 20s, right? Around that age?
Well, no, I just went to yoga school last year.
Oh.
And became trained in it.
I see.
So, yeah. This, like, my mom really had an issue with me going to yoga.
Last year.
This is just last year. As a 34-year-old woman.
Okay.
She really, really pressed her opinion about that on me. And so out of my people-pleasing ways, I was just like, it's just a form of exercise. Not crediting any of the philosophy of it.
So you don't believe that it's just a form of exercise?
No, not at all.
But you just want to appease your mom.
Yes.
Okay.
And so she was like, well, if you do yoga, have it be yoga for Christians.
Okay.
Or Christian yoga.
Yeah. So she was concerned for your eternal salvation.
Yes, she was. And she still is. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is understandable for a mom to be concerned for something like that.
Totally. It's important to her. Totally. I see all of her reasoning behind her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't say that, like, I probably was very caring in that moment towards it, but now I see it.
Right. It's hard to be like, yo, I'm 34. If I were to go to yoga, I'm going to go to yoga.
Yeah. But dang, like, I just never thought I'd have such pushback in a smaller religious town just because of yoga.
So there was not just your mom, it was like more pushback?
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Okay. So I, I decided to open the yoga studio that I also do massage in. And I wasn't coming out with that I was like a healer, energy worker, or anything like that yet. But I had mentioned to my mom, like, this is what I kind of want to do. And she was like, I don't think that you should be doing that. And I'd really like, before you do any of this, I'd really like you to do a Bible study. Hmm. And I was like, I'm learning about yoga right now and like trying to learn and be enmeshed in that and trying to do a Bible study just like wasn't meshing for me.
Okay.
You know? So since I wasn't going to do the Bible study, she didn't want to hear anything about yoga.
Okay.
If you're not going to come to my table, I'm not going to yours, is what she said. And I was like, okay, I understand that.
So she was trying to make a deal with you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And a deal was, like, how I would name it, you know? It was, and I finally was just like, I had to just push back and do what, like, my soul was telling me to do. Like, in today's age, I feel like there's so many people that are of our generation, so I'm 35, that don't have any sort of belief, especially like with Christianity, because it's been misused, like in the church through righteousness. How many times have you gone to church and like the people that you would feel are that say or profess that they're the biggest Christians are the ones when you turn around and they're like judging people or like for instance I had a boyfriend who was an alcoholic and I took him to church and I got messages then after church that people were praying for me and didn't know why I would bring him to church with me, like they were worried that I was with him.
And you were. He was your boyfriend.
Right.
Okay.
But don't you think that that is a great thing to take someone like that to church?
I mean, that's what Jesus said it was for.
Right.
I came to heal the sick.
Yeah.
Not the healthy.
Yeah. And the other thing that happened was I went to church here in Sturgis when I moved back. I know I'm all over the place. After my divorce, I moved back to Sturgis.
Where were you before?
I was in Mattawan, Kalamazoo area, right, an hour away. But I went to church here, and I tried it out for, like, the first 3 months. And I had, like, 3 married men. 2 of them got massages, but would text me and tried to, like, be promiscuous. Yeah. And that's when I was like, this is from church, you know? Mm-hmm. So that, like, it's really where I kind of, like, stepped into believing in something else. I still believe in a higher power. It's just, I wouldn't say I'm religious.
Do you have a problem with people who identify their higher power as the Christian God?
No.
Okay.
No, I think that you can get there through all different forms. Like, you can talk to God walking in the woods. You can talk to God... I believe God is within us, really.
Okay.
But you can do that in meditation. You can do it in prayer. I mean, there's lots of ways that you can get there.
Okay. So, really, the spiritual or religious shift in you was being brought up in a family where the Midwest Americana version of Christianity was the way, the only way. And if you deviate from that, you're going to hell.
Yes.
Into now I'm Vivian. I am a healer. I totally believe in a higher power. That higher power is within us. And the big deviation, and I don't have any problem with Americana Christians,
mm-hmm.
But the big deviation is there's lots of ways to connect with the higher power.
Yeah.
And it sounds like, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like for you, the higher power is not something to get out of hell. It's not something you're doing to appease God so that you don't go to hell. It's something to do to connect, to make your life.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Finding that inner guidance again. Yeah.
Inner guidance.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's all of this is like really happening now in my life where I'm like really standing in my truth, my authentic self. I'm not ashamed of it.
What were you ashamed of before? What part of your authentic self were you ashamed of?
Well, I mean, you know, just I've always connected with yoga. Those are things that I've always loved, but they were always shamed in my family.
Okay.
Yeah.
So living openly.
Yes.
In the way that you feel like yes. is best for you.
Yes. I mean, they all
trying to hide it or something like that.
Right. They were like thought I was like so terrible for smoking weed and like
sure.
any sort of cannabis and you know, the way that I'm approaching my life, they were very, very worried, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, through this journey, this spiritual journey, every step that I've taken, it's been amazing. Like, I should not be where I'm at. I got a divorce 1.5 years ago, and I walked out of my house with $150. My ex-husband had his girlfriend move in 2 weeks later. So, like, I couldn't go back, you know? It was like, the universe was like, time to go, you know? And I moved into a 400-square-foot tiny little cottage that I just randomly, I went to my client's house. When everything blew up, I had a massage that night that I had to go to. And it's like 7 o'clock at night. And I told him, I said, I can't go back home. Like, I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do right now, but things are not good at home. And my client goes, there's this 91-year-old man that lives across the lake, and he has this, like, little shack behind his house. I wonder if he would rent it to you. And so I go look at this place, and it's, like, a dump. Total dump. Nobody's lived in it for 15 years. Orange shag carpet. And I was like, I go look at it. You know, I have $150, you know, at this point. I was like, I'll take it. Whatever he wants, like, I'll see if I can, like, redo it or something and make a deal with him. So I went and talked to him the very next day. And he rented it out to me. And I was like, can I just, like, pay you, like, in a couple months? You know, can I get on my feet and pay you in a couple months and I'll fix it up? I'll fix up the whole place. So he gave me the first 2 months for free.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a guy.
Yeah. And I slept on the floor on the shag carpet that was moldy. Gross.
Oh.
Yeah. And
wow, you are brave.
Oh, yeah. But I was desperate.
Sure.
Like, when you're in that energy of such negativity and, like, it was just not, there was violence, it was not good. And you
oh,
don't want
really?
Your,
oh, I'm so sorry, Vivian.
Yeah, you don't want your kids to see that. So, like, yeah, I was just at the point of, like, I'll do anything to not be there. And we had, like, this huge, gigantic house. We had a 3,000-square-foot home.
Wow.
With, like, 22-foot-high ceilings. It was my dream house.
American,
like,
dream right here.
Yeah. On 10 acres of woods.
Wow.
And so the windows, like, all looked out onto this 10 acres of woods. Yeah, it was everything I ever wanted. But when your soul's not happy, you'll do anything to get out of that situation. Mm-hmm. There was no, like, amount of money that would have made me stay. So it was, like, where my whole life changed from feeling like love is money. Money is love. All of that. I couldn't live in that anymore. Like, I had to live heart-centered, like, where I really truly found, like, like a soulmate, you know, like I needed to like connect to my inner, where I started aligning with myself so I wasn't abandoning myself anymore. So I was really like chasing after me, like, because I've spent a lifetime doing that, starving myself, being in abusive relationships, you know, being promiscuous, you know, there's all these like hidden addictions, and then smoking weed. Like, I got to the point where I was so miserable in my relationship that I couldn't go one day, 1 hour without being high. And I couldn't like sit there in my marriage and raise two boys and not connect with them. So it was in search of like me connecting with my kids, and it was in search of me finding myself, that made me, that pushed me into this. And when I got into that cottage and knowing that like another woman's living in my home, and like I was like pretty much replaced, you know, that's what it felt like.
Yeah.
I just started like every day. I ripped out that carpet. Like I redid the whole place. I had pictures of it on my Instagram, but I painted the whole place. I redid the flooring. I painted the outsides. I put in new lighting. Like, it looked like a completely different house when I was done. So, and I didn't get that money back, but he gave me like the first 2 months free. So it was like kind of evened out.
Okay.
But like, I realized that art is my therapy. Like any sort of art is my therapy. And I just needed to like create. And I've realized that through this journey, like, every time I hit, like, these terrible emotional pains, like, all of a sudden I would come out with, like, some form of, like, huge piece of artwork in my life. So, like, that's how I process these hard, painful events. Is like, the healing studio. So what happened there was I moved into the cottage and, I ended up one of the first people that I dated. I really, really connected with him, but it was through trauma, bonding. But he changed my life. He was also an alcoholic. And he ended up going to rehab, and it was in California. And a lot of the things that they did was meditation and yoga and sound healing and having them just try to find themselves. And so he would message me like, oh, we're going into meditation, or we're doing breath work right now. And that's where like all of those ideas for the way that he healed out in California, is what I'm taking into this business that I'm doing now, the healing studio. So, it was super painful to see him struggle the way that he did through his addiction, and then have him just suddenly leave my life, you know? But I took all that pain and, like, created a business with it. So, like, at every moment, that's kind of what I did to process my pain.
So when you say you process your pain through creating an art, that really looks like all different things.
Yeah. I mean,
this example, you built a business and had to create the space for that business and create the imagery for that business and the services for that business and how you fit into all that. That is your art and your creation to help process through this.
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yes.
What's another example of like a creation that came through processing pain or suffering or trauma, or maybe it's processing something else. I don't know if it's just the, that
it's stuff. Really like it's just like this like inner, it's this inner, have you ever had that where you just like gotta move, you gotta create, like you gotta,
yeah,
like those,
that's why
bursts.
I started the podcast.
Yeah, it's your, it's, that's your creative expression. So I don't know what's another way that I've done. I would say the way, so before I was just like a massage therapist. And then I started to create myself into something different.
Okay.
Like painting myself as a healer and then taking it into the form of energy and then working with crystals and just changing my wording. You know, you recreate yourself, I guess is how I would describe it.
Yeah. So you started referring to yourself differently.
Mm-hmm.
And that led to other people thinking of you differently.
Yeah.
Which led to you being different.
Right.
Okay.
Just from different wording.
Yeah. So self-identification for you, how you identify yourself, is a really important part of the reality you create for yourself.
Yes.
Tell me more about that. What kind of reality are you creating for yourself?
Well, I decided, so I got into the law of attraction through all of this, and it kind of blew my mind. If I could go back and tell you every step of the way how I would be at a point in a very traumatic state, and all of a sudden somebody would like at the exact time that I needed it would step in, like
the 91-year-old man,
like the 91-year-old man,
or the lady who told you, or man, whoever it was, the client was like, yeah, there's a 91-year-old man with a shack.
Yeah It was like my divorce had reached a climax, and I just so happened to like talk to that client, and then the 91. So yeah, it was just like every step of the way, like I needed to find. So during my divorce, I had kind of a lousy attorney.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden I get this message from a kid from my high school, and he was like, Vivian, could you come help me with my house? Like, I need somebody to decorate it. And I saw that you kind of do that, because I showed pictures on my Instagram of me redoing that cottage. So I go over to his house to help him. He lives on a lake. And I go, what is it that you do? And he goes, I'm a lawyer. And I was like, what? So he ended up helping me through the case more than my own attorney did.
Oh,
but I needed somebody, and he just showed up.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was like every time, like I...
Very randomly.
Very random.
Yeah.
And then the guy that I dated, like he randomly just messaged me on Facebook. I've never heard of him before. And he was from Sturgis. And I was like, this is weird. Like, I've never heard of this kid.
And this is a pretty small town. I mean...
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to not know somebody.
Exactly. So, he was younger. He was like 5 years younger, but
oh,
yeah, so
Vivian.
I know. So yeah, I started dating him, and he would come to Mattawan, which was like an hour away. And we ended up breaking up because he was like, I can't like keep traveling an hour to come see you. And I was like, I was still like not fully divorced at that point. So I was like, no, I agree. I'm probably going to have to stay here because my kids. And so then things shifted in the divorce, and I needed my parents' help to watch my kids. And so I ended up having to move to Sturgis. And lo and behold, the only house that was available and what I needed, because really there's not a whole lot of houses that you can like rent out in Sturgis.
Really?
Yeah. It's very, very limited. So, yeah, I needed to find a house. And I went to that church. And I told a girlfriend, I was like, I'm looking for a place to rent, and I can't find anything. And I was living in my mom's basement at that point. And she called me 2 days after I had said that. And she was like, I found a house for you, and it's perfect. And I was like, okay, so it has enough room for the boys? And she was like, yeah, fenced in backyard, everything. And I was like,
whoa,
sweet. And it was like the price that I needed. It was like $700, super cheap, right?
Oh my goodness.
Because everything like in Kalamazoo was like $1,200.
Right.
So I was like, I'll take it. And then come to find out, well, the guy that I was dating was my neighbor.
Okay.
Yeah, so it like it reconnected us, but yeah. So just random things like that. Like, who would have thought? I never thought I would see him again. And here I become his neighbor.
So this is Source, your higher power, channeling through you into the world around you. Laws of attraction. Things are happening.
Yeah.
Has that always been the case for you?
Yes.
So since you were a kid?
Yeah. So, like, the healing studio, for instance, like, I told, like, probably 4 or 5 of my friends in 2017, I said, I want to create a healing studio in the middle of the woods in Sturgis. And I didn't really know that I was going to come back here and do it. This was before the divorce and everything. But I had just had so many friends that had, like, committed suicide or overdosed on pills here. Mm. Like, we have a huge epidemic of people way too young who have died. I have 7 friends in my class below and above who have committed suicide.
On purpose or on accident?
On purpose.
Oh, man.
Wow. Yeah. And that's, like, a small town.
Yeah.
So I would tell people that, like, when I worked at the spas, I worked with a bunch of girls that were from Kalamazoo. And they went to, like, Kalamazoo Portage or Kalamazoo Northern.
Yep.
And I was like, I know 7 people who have committed suicide. Because I would, like, I remember I was like, I'm going to a funeral. And they were like, what? You're going to a funeral again? And I was like, yeah, another one of my friends, like, committed suicide. And they were like, Vivian, how many people has this happened to, you know?
Wow.
And I was like, you don't know any people that have? And they were like, no, I don't have one person in my high school that I know of that has. So that's when I, like, started to realize, like, this is a problem in Sturgis.
Okay.
You know? Yeah, so I ended up moving home. And during the process of moving home, I just started traveling to people's homes and doing massage.
Okay.
Is how I, like, kind of, because I didn't know where I was going to end up. I didn't know if, like, I would end up back in Mattawan with the boys or if I would stay in Sturgis. And then I ended up getting a studio in downtown Kalamazoo.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I had, so, yeah, that's another story in itself. But I was living in the house next to the alcoholic boyfriend that I was seeing.
Downtown Kalamazoo or downtown Sturgis?
Downtown Sturgis.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know.
So you were here in Sturgis. You'd moved here.
Yes.
You had been going to people's houses to do massages.
Yes.
And then a spot opened up. Okay.
Well, so what happened was, okay, this was another crazy thing. I was supposed to move in with him.
Okay.
Yeah. We were, like, getting more serious.
Sure. 2 rents. Let's make it 1 rent.
And he was there every day, you know, right. So, like, yeah.
We're already neighbors.
Exactly. But him taking on 2 boys, I think, was really, like, really freaked him out. You know, he loved the boys, but at the same time, like, are you ready for that?
Yeah.
And I started to notice, like, a week before I was supposed to move in, like, we had, like, painted the basement, got everything around. Like, all of my stuff was, like, kind of over there pretty much already. I had some things to still clear out, but, I was going to move in with him. And 4 days till I pulled out because he started drinking too much again. And went to go back to my house, but they had already rented it out. So that day that they told me that I wasn't going to live in my house anymore, I had a client come in again. And she was like, so, because I was doing work out of my house too. I had a studio in my house. And she was like, where are you going to put your business if you can't live here anymore? And I was like, I have no idea. So she was like, I have the perfect spot. I do the accounting for the Masonic Temple building. And I'll just call over there and see if they have a place available. And she did. And the rent was only $200. So I immediately just moved into that. It was like perfect timing again.
Did you live there and your massage work was there, or was this your...
No, I had to move into my mother's basement again.
Okay.
Which was not good, you know?
Okay.
And I moved the business into the studio. So when I moved into my mom's basement was when I moved in again, it's when COVID hit.
Oh, wow. So this is not super long ago.
No. Oh, no. Yeah. This is all happening now in my life.
Yeah.
Didn't get the unemployment for 4.5 months. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Government.
Yeah.
But you did eventually get unemployment.
Oh, yes.
Good.
And then it was also while I was going to yoga school. Okay. So my mom's really being bombarded with my whole lifestyle at this point.
Right. You know? You're living with her.
Yeah. You're
talking about it.
And like, I really live in my authentic self now, like, where I'm really trying to do that more and more. And, like, she didn't like marijuana. So, like, what did I do? I went and worked at a marijuana farm.
Okay.
And trimmed it. And, like, I would have to, like, put my clothes outside. Like, she wanted me to burn them. Like, she could not stand. So I was like, oh, you don't like marijuana? Well, I'm going to, like, shove it at you. You know, like, I'm not, like... I can see why she, like, really struggles with me, you know?
She wants to control you, and you're like, I will not be controlled.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So, so we butted heads a lot.
Sure.
And, one of our last fights that we had, because, you know, after you date an alcoholic and you smoke weed, like, your parents no longer trust you at that point.
Sure.
Yeah. They lose faith in you. Hmm. And I just couldn't handle having that paint that painted for me. Like, you have to pick yourself back up and recreate again. Every time you fall off the horse, pick yourself back up and recreate yourself again. And when the people who are in your life that, like, want to stop you from doing that and say, but wait, remember all the things that you did bad. It's your back hurting.
No.
You're going to need a massage after this.
Maybe. I just wanted to get my legs stretched out a little bit.
But, like, I can't handle that energy. Like, I'm like, you got to keep believing in me. Like, I know that, like, there's going to be times where I fail. And you are.
Yeah.
You just have to keep failing until you succeed. And people can't, like, just keep painting that, like, that's what you're going to be. Like, I would understand if I did, like, heroin or a shooting up or whatever.
Well,
like,
even with people who have done hard drugs, they have to be able to move on with life.
That's right. So, it's kind of like, I get where people, like, have that fear, but, like...
Sure.
Yeah. As long as you create the right boundaries, right?
So, if I'm hearing you right...
I didn't like the heroin comment. That was bad. That was judgmental.
That's okay. It's okay. I mean...
There's
a lot of things that people struggle with. I would say addiction is a disease, in all of its forms.
Well, it's don't you think it's self-betrayal? Don't you think it's self-abandonment?
It's hurting yourself.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, I guess so. What was I going to say? So if I'm hearing you right, you had had this very difficult marriage.
Mm-hmm.
It had ended. Circumstances, you know, came about that put you back in your hometown. In a serious relationship with a boyfriend who was alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
And this was after you had gone through recovery for marijuana addiction. Is that before or after?
No,
or
no, I was doing it with him.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. So, so then you move, he goes and gets in to recovery,
mm-hmm.
In rehab, mm-hmm. far, far away.
Yes.
And you move into your parents' basement again.
Yes.
And because of those circumstances, now what you're saying is, as much as your mom wants to believe that you're doing well now.
Yes.
It's hard for her because she's lost faith that you can do well.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Well, I mean... So, I ended up moving out because we had a big dispute.
Okay.
Because she, you know, yeah, it was her, like, she was like, you're staying in the room next to mine. Because she was afraid I was going to bring, like, drugs or alcohol into the house. Like weed or alcohol or something. Or my ex was going to come over or something. So, yeah, I had to sleep in the room next to her. So there was, like, control, right?
Sure. A lot of fear.
So much fear. And then, like, I would go to work and she would stop by just to make sure that nobody was there with me. That my ex wasn't there with me. Or she was just, yeah. There's a whole lot of, like, watching me very closely, everything that I did. So then when I got into, like, yoga, then there was big worry there because that didn't align with her religious beliefs. And so it was like I was getting boxed in more and more, you know? And then the COVID thing and, like, not feeling like I was financially independent and able to make my own choices. Like, I felt like I was back in high school again. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed to date. You're not allowed to do this. You know, all of your rights are taken away, right? And here I am still raising two boys at the same time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I ended up moving into where I am now. And then I decided to go out to California to do some soul searching after I got the unemployment. That was one of the things that I did. And when I went out there, I met a healer. And she's a spiral practitioner, which is she will go through each chakra and she asks questions, like these deep inner questions to see like where you're blocked. She listens to the way that you talk, and the words that you say to see like which one, like is it your self-esteem that's blocked, which is your solar plexus. And then she would, teach me like certain movements I could do to like move that energy through my body. Interesting. Yeah.
Very practical.
Yeah. Or if like my throat chakra was black, she was like, I want you to sing right now. I want you to sing a song for me. And so I'd have to sing, or like she would like make me yell. She's like, I want you to yell at the top of your lungs, you know, like just to move that energy. Mm-hmm. And then like I would speak something and then she would kind of reprogram it. She would be like, I am okay to be a successful mother. I am okay to be, to have a successful relationship. Because I was like, kind of like, I didn't think you could be successful in career and still have like a good relationship. Okay. It was like a programming that I had.
Sure.
So she would have me re-say things to reprogram the way that I was thinking about it. You know? Mm-hmm. But it did like so much healing, and that's been about 6 months ago that I've been able to like work through this process with her. But it's totally changed my energy, the way that I think about things, my reality. And in the process of doing that, there's this big, huge studio, which you went to, in the middle of the woods. Sturgis has never rented this place out. It belongs to the city, yeah. Big windows, high ceilings, like the perfect place. And I randomly was connected to them through a girlfriend that has a job with the city of Sturgis. And it just kind of fell in my lap. They've never rented it out before. And they came to me and asked me if I wanted to move my business into that place, just randomly. Yeah. And it was like I had this vision in 2017 of doing this. So, like, my spiritual journey has just been, like, kind of mind-blowing to me. How it's all... It just comes to me. Mm-hmm. And then last week, I had a woman who's in her late 40s. She came to me. And she's a very spiritual person, too. And she's going to be working for me. She lived in Scotland last year. And she's like, I've never had a job. I've always just, like, moved. And divine will just align with me. And I'll find the perfect job. And it always happens for her. Just...
So what's she going to do for you?
She's going to teach elderly yoga.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, so she's morning yoga teacher for me.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I hope I can remember this question because it was a good one.
Okay.
Shoot.
Is it about being in alignment?
Maybe. Oh. What would be your advice to people, or do you have any advice to people that don't feel like the universe just brings good things into their life?
Well, like,
how does that happen? What's different?
My awakening has been a really, like, it's a deep search, like you deep dive. So the way that I deep dived first was like through astrology.
Okay.
Like getting to know myself through astrology. And I've followed it for 4 years, and like it's always on. Like the planets have energy. And so like, okay, so let's see if this happens.
Okay.
Next week, Jupiter and Saturn are going to align. And it's going to bring you a huge blessing. Something that you've always been wanting. So you're going to have to like come back to me and let me know like if there's just an unexpected blessing that happens for you.
Specifically next week.
Yes. By next week, you'll have that.
Is there any specific form the blessing would take?
Well, if I looked at your chart, I could see like in which house that it falls under for you. Like if it would be home and family or career, I could like look at your chart and see what that might be to give you kind of a vague, like where it might happen in your life. But yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I think you'll know once it happens. It'll be unexpected.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I like unexpected blessings.
Yeah. But, you know, I've been able to, like, guide people in this way, and I love that, too. Like, just, like, giving people a deeper way of healing or a deeper awareness, you know, other than just, like, massage. Like, it's so external. And I wanted, like, a deeper way of helping people, too. And so that happened. Then the energy work happened after the astrology, because I got in tune with the energies of the planets. And then meditation. And you start to feel it when you meditate. You can start to feel your third eye actually tingle and open up when you meditate long enough. Yeah. And I think also the use of cannabis definitely put me in my higher self.
Yeah.
That was definitely, yeah. So I don't think that cannabis is all bad, that's for sure. I think that like it can help you get to an enlightened state. Be in your higher self. What's another form? And then like just last week I read, have you ever heard of Human Design? Mm-mm. Okay, so that will teach you all about the energy of your body and how you can best use that. So like I'm a generator. And generators can sit back in the world and all of their blessings will come to them. There's some people in life who have to, like, go out and get it. They have to go out and search for it. There's some people who just create it themselves. There's, like, projectors. Projectors are people who give guidance to others to help them find their way.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's really interesting. Human Design was actually written by a guy who was in the middle of an island. He got a download, just a download overnight, went home, wrote for 14 hours and wrote this book. And they've done research on it, and scientifically it's like proven.
What is this guy's name?
I don't know. I need to like
look. Human Design.
Human Design. It's called Human Design. So it's like I kind of went in search for like different modalities that I could figure out myself, different ways of healing. Deeper ways,
sure.
Yeah. Understand me.
And would you say you're still on that journey?
Yes.
Are you still in there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Big time.
Okay, so where, how would you define things for you right now?
Like, it's just, like,
because, I mean, you have gone into some pretty, like, with a smile on your face.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and there was terrible things at home. And then I lived in a moldy shack. And then my mom tried to control me because I had to live in her basement. And then I had a boyfriend who was an alcoholic and I really liked him. But then I got, you know, because of those circumstances, I had to go back to my mom's.
Right.
And you're like smiling this entire time.
I know. I do that. Yeah.
I mean, this is hard stuff.
It's super, super hard. And I do tend to like sugarcoat it a little bit as I'm telling it, because it was incredibly hard going through it. And I've shed a lot of tears. And I've spent a lot of time alone. And yeah, I think that if you believe, if you just keep believing, it always comes about. Like, when I first got divorced, I thought I was going to live in the ghetto, and I was going to have 3 jobs just to, like, make it, you know? And somehow, the universe has, like, always provided for me. I have a beautiful home.
Yes, you do.
I have a beautiful job. I've created a beautiful life for myself. And this is 1.5 years out from divorce, you know? And I walked out of my home with $150. So, like, as long as you just believe.
What does believing mean? How does that work for you?
Believing in a higher power, that the universe has your back, that somebody's watching out for you, you know? Like, if you truly want it, step out. Like, have faith. Like, you may not know where you're going. Just take the first step, and it'll rise up to meet you.
Whatever it is. So just believe that good things will happen, and just take the first step.
Yeah. That's what I did. I walked out of my house. Wasn't really quite sure how that was going to go. And he somehow gave me the first 2 months free.
Like, the old man?
Yeah, the old man. Yeah.
So would you say that that fear of living in the ghetto, working 3 jobs, is what kept you in your marriage, or?
Yes.
Okay.
It was all fear.
Okay.
For 13 years kept me there.
For 13 years?
Yes.
So you didn't, how did you end up getting married then?
Fear, like, you know, I was, with my family, I kind of was looking for somebody to save me. Mm-hmm. Because I never quite fit in with my family. They never quite understood me. And maybe I'm just like a more complex person. I don't know. They say that, like, in narcissistic families, that there's a scapegoat. I don't know if you've ever heard of that dynamic. Okay. So it's usually the person in the family that's, like, more awake. And that the family kind of, like, shuns a little bit. Because they're a little bit different. You know, I've always been a little bit more out there. A little bit.
You're the youngest of the original kids.
Yes.
And the oldest of the stepchildren.
No, okay. I was still the youngest, yeah.
You're still the youngest?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm just like a little bit more of a free bird.
Okay.
You know? And I don't really have a whole lot of fear.
Did you have fear before?
Yes.
I mean, were you afraid when you were 70 pounds on a feeding tube?
Yes, that was all fear. That was all fear. Yeah. Yeah, I lived in a perpetual state of fear, yeah. And at that point, I didn't believe that there was a God. I remember being anorexic and believing that there wasn't a God at all. And then I didn't feel any sort of higher power at that point. Yeah, until I stepped out, I found the law of attraction, believed in a higher power, released myself from religion, like, let go of those things that bound me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like even with COVID, like, all these people that believe, like, that are in such a fearful state, you know, a low vibration.
And when you say low vibration, that means, like, negative thoughts, negative emotions.
Yeah. Am I going to die? I'm going to stay in my home, and okay. I'm going to be fearful. Like, that's the last thing that we need to be doing, you know? Like, we need to, like, keep our vibration high. We need to be trusting that the universe has our back and that we're going to be okay. You know, we can't let this, like, overtake us. I believe it's a real thing, obviously. I'm not downplaying COVID.
So it's not fake.
No.
But
no.
How do we deal with it is
the
opinion that you
But
have.
I really truly believe that it's like a spiritual warfare, you know? It's about releasing fear is my biggest point on it. And I know that I look at it differently. I don't look at it scientifically. But Yeah, because, I mean, the people that I have found that have been the most fearful are the ones that I found that have been the sickest, too.
Wow.
I haven't gotten it. I worked in the health center for a little bit when I wasn't getting unemployment. So I worked in the health facility. I worked on the front lines. Everybody in the whole entire place got it. The doctor died from COVID.
Oh, wow.
I was working side by side with him in the same room. I never got it.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you didn't get it.
Yeah. I know, I've taken us in so many directions.
It's so good. I keep on coming back in my mind to that very profound definition you have of belief.
Yeah.
Know that there's a, or believe that there's a higher power. Believe that someone's looking out for you, that good things will come.
Mm-hmm.
And just take the first step.
Yes.
I like that. That's really good. And is that, I mean, sounds like that's a within the last couple of years type of addition to your life.
Yep. Since the time I walked out of my house, that's been my motto, and it's gotten me through everything. And it doesn't mean like life's gone perfect, because trust me, when I'm moving back into my mother's basement for the second time, like, sure. I really could have said that I could have became fearful and been like, but...
Probably didn't feel good.
No, it sucked. It was awful. You're 34 years old with two kids, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm great now.
Yeah,
you know? You
did it.
Yeah, I did it.
You took the next step.
Yeah.
And that step was,
and you know,
back in the basement.
Yeah. I guess that's where spirit led me again, because I needed to go back there again. I needed to, like, address things. That's the way that I look at it. It's like, there's always a higher meaning to it. Like, why am I back here? What do I need to address? And so I just realized, like, where my fears came from in my life, why I had the habits and the cycles that I did in my life. And it all came back from my very early childhood with my mother. And so just learning how to reprogram yourself, too. Like, we're so conditioned. And if we can stop that conditioning in our minds that we were brought up with and open our minds up to being like, where did I get this belief from? From the very beginning, where did I get this belief? Because it's not true. I can reprogram that. And having an open mind, not letting fear consume you.
So what do you feel like you're still working on? I mean, you, like, the vibe I get is that you are pretty pleased with where you're at in life. Like, good things are happening.
I am.
Got my own business with my own studio and now an employee.
Yeah.
I'm getting a good place with my kids, a good place with my family.
I mean, this is my dream. This is my dream. This is like, what do I do next now? You know?
Okay.
Because I didn't expect to, like, walk out of my marriage and, like, find it in a year and a half. So, I guess really now it's to see how much I can benefit others now. Now that I've gotten myself here, how many people can I heal from my pain?
Okay.
I'm the wounded healer.
The wounded healer. Are all healers wounded, or you don't know?
I don't think that you have to be.
Okay.
But mine has been, you go through the pain and you heal yourself, and then you can heal others. So, and I can, like, put myself in other people's shoes after walking a journey like that. Like, I don't think that you could meet me and be like, oh, like, I had that happen with my career, with guys, and did that to my body, and the eating disorder. Like, nobody would know those things, you know what I mean? So it's like, I think by me telling my story too, like, this is everybody, you know? Everybody has a story. Everybody has wounding. Because I think so many people look at me and they're like, wow, she's got it all together, you know? And I don't. I've gone through shit.
Yeah. Okay, so is that what you're working on? Is to let go permanently of I've got my shit together, like giving off that vibe?
Yeah.
Or do you feel like you've already done that?
I think I'm doing it right now. Like, just by telling my story and stuff and putting myself out there more, letting myself be vulnerable. Like, this is vulnerable. Like,
it is very vulnerable.
And I could go deeper into it because, you know, like, when you get into, like, the abusive situation with my ex-husband and, you know, I dated him for 6 months and he was unfaithful and there was a baby that came about of that and I still married him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, still out of fear. You know, like, you ask yourself, why did I do that to myself? Why did I torture myself that much, you know? Like, why did I feel so undeserving? And it was just because, like, when you grow up with that, with, like, criticism and abuse and neglect, like, that's all you know love is. And so you accept the love that you've always been given.
Was he your first boyfriend?
No, I had a boyfriend in high school, and then, yeah, he was pretty much my first, like, yeah, serious.
Adult serious boyfriend?
Yeah, I started dating him when I was 20.
Okay, because, like, it just seems like I'm trying to follow someone who had been in a relationship, and, like you were saying, doing it to yourself, like, yeah, this isn't working for me. But that's not, it doesn't sound like that's what relationships were for you.
Right.
Once they're started.
Yeah, I couldn't just release myself. Yeah.
That's it now.
Yeah. Hmm. Very loyal. Very loyal.
Yeah. Hmm. That's really good stuff. Is there, I mean, are there other things that would help you be vulnerable about and say out loud that would help you, you know, as you say, heal?
I'm
not trying to force anything, just...
Oh, I know. I mean, I think I have said the gist of it. Like, you can go into detail about things, but, like...
Sure.
I, you know, like, when you really look at your story, like, I looked back and I was like, oh, I had a happy childhood. And it looks like it. Everything was painted picket white fence and great family. And, you know, nobody knows the ins and outs of that. But, like, that's not the truth. Like, I had emotional neglect. I starved myself to death. I had addictions with dieting pills. I had addiction with marijuana, and I was a mother too, you know, like, all the shame associated with all of it. And then being promiscuous while still in a marriage, you know, trying to make more money. I mean, it's prostitution, you know, like, all of these things that I've really had to, like, let go. It's not me. You know, it was me trying to survive, you know, and survive out of fear. All of it, all of those decisions were all made out of fear. And once I started living my life believing in myself is when everything changed, and believing in a higher power that I was taking care of. Like, I'm not going to let money dictate where I'm headed in life. I'm not going to let money, like, lead me into bad decisions again, you know? So it's like, as long as you keep heading in the right direction and you don't let these outside forces sway you off because you're fearful, it'll be there. It'll be provided.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. I like how you said it's hard to see it in other people because everything looks fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. How? What would you say is, you know, if somebody has, how would you help somebody know if they have low energy? So that they know to seek help, I guess. It's, 'cause that's what I'm hearing from you. Is,
yeah.
Part of it is to know to seek help. How does someone know if they need to seek help, if they should seek help?
Okay, so my big belief is that if you have an emotion that's sat in your body for so long, It can create disease. It's dis-ease. So your body is not in a clear state, right? So what was happening with me, I was getting continual strep throat. I got it 6 times in 1 year.
Wow.
And I was not speaking my truth. Once I started to speak my truth and said I wanted a divorce, I want to get out of here, like, this isn't working for me. I've never had strep throat again. But that was like a clear sign, like, that I was stuck, you know? So I'm like such a big believer, like, you've got to go with your intuition. You've got to sit down and find yourself and ground yourself and put your feet in the dirt and give your body nutritious food and really start to listen to your inner being and follow that. Our intuition is so wise. Our higher self is so wise.
So really, just if somebody is upset about something in their life, seek help. I mean, that's what it sounds like.
This is all self-help. I mean, this is all self. This is all self-healing that I've done.
Okay.
I've never went and spoke to a therapist.
Well, you went out to California.
I did. And I found a healer.
Saw a healer there.
Yeah. But, yeah, so that's my first. But it wasn't like a typical, like, you go in and you speak. Sure. Yeah. Like,
here's my Medicaid card.
Yeah, and then I'll go take a pill, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, it was totally different forms of modalities of healing. And I'm like a diehard believer in it now, as you can see.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Cool. Yeah, you create your own reality.
What reality do you want to create for yourself?
One where I can help a lot of people. Help a lot of people get out of their bad cycles. Find inner awareness. Connect them back to their bodies. Connect them to their intuition. Help them with addiction so they don't have this self-betrayal anymore. Come back to yourself and love yourself.
So people who are betraying themselves are the ones that you want to help. Mm-hmm. And you want to help a lot of those.
Yeah, people. With addiction. Addiction's a big one. Yeah.
Neat.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot more of, like, things we could talk about.
Oh, there's so much more. This is like the surface, yeah.
So maybe there's like a part two or a series? Part three or something. Ooh, like that.
I like it.
Okay, cool. But, I mean, great conversation.
Yeah.
And thank you for sharing your story. That's, I mean, I don't want to discount through the humor and mirth. You've been through a lot.
Yeah.
And I think, I think your story is a very powerful one because...
Thank you.
You know, whether or not it really is remarkable of how far you've come in a year and a half. I don't really know, you know, all the stories and what should be expected and what should not be expected. But the way you tell it, it is very remarkable for
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that you've come from, you know, in that time period, so much growth as a person mm-hmm. is inspiring. That's really cool.
Yeah. And the other thing is like, I finally have a really solid relationship with my boys. Like, I know...
Sweet.
I know them, you know? Like, it's not just the thought of who they are. Like, I know their inner being now and really connect with them. So that's so nice to, like, have that again, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you didn't really know them that well before that?
No, I was so disconnected. Yeah. I was going through the motions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. It is... Kids are a lot of work. They're a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it takes a bit of surrender to enjoy it and not be trying to control it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let it go. And love them for who they are, you know. Yeah. Really see them for who they are. Yeah, that's what I say to them all the time is when they speak, I'm like, you're seen and heard, okay? You're seen and heard.
You're seen and heard.
Because I felt for so long I wasn't seen and heard.
Hmm. I might use that. I like that.
Mm-hmm. It's validating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no one can see us, but
They can hear us.
Yeah. I appreciate it. Like, this is freeing for me.
Good. Well, it's great for me. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm happy I could help.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know how to wrap it up other than to say thank you. I really appreciate your time and being willing to tell your story. It's a good one.
Thank you. Thanks.
All right. Let me turn this bad boy off.
All right.
No, we didn't go super long like I've done in the past.
Woo!
You just have to keep failing until you succeed. Every time you fall off the horse, pick yourself back up and recreate yourself again. Once I started living life believing in myself, everything changed. Come back to yourself and love yourself. You're seen and heard. Those statements that Vivian made throughout the interview really touched me. Each time I've listened back to this interview, hearing the start of her journey to the end, I'm encouraged. Redemption is a real thing. Healing is a real thing. Getting to hear stories like Vivian's is a gift this podcast gives to me. When I seem to fail, I want to remember Vivian's words. Believe in a higher power. Believe that good things will come. And just take the first step. Thanks for listening to this episode of A Simple Life with Michael Jeffries. We'll see you down the road.